Turn to the book of Haggai. It's one of the minor prophets. That's about the third from the end of the Old Testament. So if you find the New Testament, Matthew, turn back to Matthew, Zechariah, and then Haggai. But that's in the minor prophets, not because of its message, but simply because of its size. The book of Haggai, and as you find that, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And we'll take just a moment. We're going to read this entire chapter this morning. And I'll give you just a moment to find that. I know that's over there past 2 Hezekiah, and some of you may have trouble finding that. All right, Haggai. Verse 1 of chapter 1, the Bible says, and you bear with me, there's a couple names in here I may struggle with. The Bible says in verse 1, in the second year of Darius, the king of in the sixth month of the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house in waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not satisfied. You're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, saying, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work of the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that every time we go to the word of God, there's truth that we can find to strengthen us and encourage us and to stir our hearts and lives. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look to this book and preaching this morning. I pray that you'd touch me, Lord. I'm just your simple servant. I'm small in the midst of a large world and compared to a great God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me that enabling that I need this morning to preach. You know each one that's here today. You know those that are visiting. You know those that are just passing through. You know our regulars, Lord. You know the need and burden of their lives. And I pray that you'd take the Word of God today and you'd minister to them, Lord, that you'd stir us to grow closer to the Lord and make a move for God in these last days. I pray that if there's one in our congregation this morning that's never truly been saved, I ask God that the Spirit of God would give them a moment of revelation, that they'd be able to see where they stand with God, that the Spirit of God would convict them and draw them to Jesus before it's too late. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd move, God, and help us today. Lord, our desire is that Christ will have the preeminence and be glorified in this place today. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for your attention this morning. As we look at the book of Haggai and all of these minor prophets, sometimes if you just read through them and don't have an idea of where they are or where they're associated with in the Old Testament, sometimes it's somewhat confusing. But as you look at the book of Haggai, the relation of it, actually Haggai and Malachi and Zechariah, they were preaching and prophesying during that time that the remnant came back, about the time the books of Nehemiah and Ezra were written. So if you read these books together, they give you a little bit more understanding of what's going on. In the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, was taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. They took them into captivity. For some 70 years, they were captive. But you'll remember in Daniel, I believe about chapter 6, and Belshazzar threw his big party and brought out the articles of the temple and was making a mockery of the things of God, that God sent him a message on the handwriting on the wall. You remember that. And he said, He said, you're weighed in the balance and you're found wanting. And that night, the Medes and Persians blocked the river, came under the walls of Babylon, took Babylon that night. And over a period of time, Cyrus became king of Babylon. Cyrus always wanted the favor of the gods on him so he could always win. So under that premise, he wanted people to build the temple in Jerusalem one more time because he wanted all the God's favor. So he stirred up a remnant to go back to Jerusalem and build that temple. As they got there and they started building, they obviously ran into some conflict. They ran into the people who they would call the Samaritans. They were a mixed multitude and they wanted to join in with the building. But the problem was they really didn't have anything common with them. I know that that may not make sense in this world of what we call ecumenicalism. Just as long as you're trying to do the right thing, let's all join together and let's just all do the same thing. Well, that doesn't work very well because what you believe affects how you behave. And for us to, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And see, we believe the Bible here at Gateway Baptist Church. We believe in this old bloody doctrine and one way of salvation doctrine at Gateway Baptist Church. And I still believe in the King James Bible, by the way, while we're there. It's hard for me just to walk. I can't walk in unity. I can't build with just anybody. But this was a mixed multitude that wanted to build with Israel. If you remember, when Israel came out of Egypt, the first ones that caused trouble was that mixed multitude that followed them out of the land of Egypt. So when they wanted to join in building, those over the building, Ezra said, we've got nothing to do with you. This is not about you. This is what God would have us to do. Well, they didn't like that very well. They complained and they started building up opposition. And finally, the building was stopped. The decree was passed that they couldn't build anymore. So they just stopped. They just quit on God in the face of this. And for some 16 years, the building there at the temple laid waste until Darius came and took rule and allowed him to start building legally one more time. But so what does this have to do with us? Haggai, when he's preaching to these people that had started the building and then all of a sudden they stopped. And he admonished them at this time of building down in verse 5 and verse 7 to stop and consider your ways. He said, you need to stop and take a look at what's going on in your life because the house of God needs to be built, and he's admonishing them. Now, in his admonition of this book, I want to take this and I want to apply it to three categories of people. There were three categories of people that were around during this time that they went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, and I want to break them down three ways. Now remember, Cyrus gave people that were in Babylon permission to go back to Jerusalem and build the house of God. Now, if the house of God meant anything to them at all, there was a few of the older ones that had seen the temple, and they were excited about one more time having a place where they could pray to again. Because remember, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. They had to turn and pray towards Jerusalem. And as long as the tabernacle was not there, and as long as the Shekinah glory of God was not there, they really had nowhere to pray. So if they had any kind of heart for God at all, there was something that stirred in their heart, as we read in the latter part of this chapter, that gave them a desire to go back to Jerusalem and build that temple. But everybody didn't go. It wasn't in everybody's heart to go back to Jerusalem. And I want to look at these that were here in three different groups that were involved in this building of the temple. The first group I want to look at is the carnal. Everybody had an opportunity and a choice to go back to build in that temple. But everybody didn't go. There was some that had got into Babylon and they'd seen the bright flashing lights of Babylon and they'd seen all the entertainment in Babylon. They'd seen the idol worship they could get involved in Babylon, all the things you could get involved in. And they said, you know, I think I'll just let somebody else go back. I want to stay in Babylon. Now, I didn't accidentally use that word carnal. You know what that word carnal means? It just means fleshly and worldly. They didn't have a desire for the things of God. They didn't have a desire for the temple. They didn't care if they had somewhere to pray to. They didn't care if they had somewhere to worship. They really didn't care that they were in bondage. They'd become content in the
world where they lived in. Let me ask you a question this morning. Now, when I threw this out about Haggai saying, consider your ways, I'm just not saying to them. I'm asking you this morning to consider your ways. Where is your heart this morning? Are you among, like these people of Babylon? Was your heart somewhere in Babylon? You're just content out in the world this morning? Where is your contentment? What is your desire? Do you have any kind of desire for the things of God? Do you have any kind of desire for preaching? Do you have any kind of desire to see anybody around you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, do you have a desire for the old time worship? Do you have a desire to come to the house of God to hear people sing and testify about Jesus? What are your desires this morning? Consider your ways this morning. Would you be in this crowd that said, hey, I believe I'd just assume stay in Babylon. I believe I'd just assume stay in the big city this morning. That lifestyle's more pleasurable to me. There's really not any resistance to that. It's comfortable for me to be here. I can have a good time. I can make good money, and I can just live it up here in this city of Babylon. I can live it up out here in the world. I just don't need the house of God that they're trying to build down there in Jerusalem. Is that your heart this morning? I ask you that. You know, when I think about this and that attitude this morning, I have to ask two questions. And just out of honesty and sincerity in my heart, the first question I ask about that is, one, if you feel that way, are you truly saved? I mean, if you've got that mentality of that hardness in your heart to God and just that lack of desire for God, I've just got to ask, are you truly saved? Have you ever truly been birthed in the family of God? You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. John admonished us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 5, 4, he said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So there's something that takes that desire away. See, I want to say this to you this morning. It's Sunday morning. Yesterday was July 4th, Independence Day, party day. And I'm going to tell you, I went out yesterday and I drank every beer I wanted to drink. I smoked every joint I wanted to smoke. I ran with every woman I wanted to run with. I watched all the filthiness on TV yesterday I wanted to watch. You know how much that was? None, because I didn't want to. When I got saved, the Lord took a lot of that. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, I'm still flesh. Those desires rear up sometime, but the Lord put something in me that had a desire for something else. I have resurrection power living in me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or cruel. And I'm tell you what, I'm not even trying to be judgmental this morning. I know this is the 21st century. We're not judgmental. You have to accept people as they are, right? Well, I accepted something about a tree in my yard a couple of years ago. It was supposed to be an apple tree. But you know, it wasn't bearing fruit. So that told me something about that apple tree. One of two things. One, it's not an apple tree. Or two, it's just dead. That's not hard and cruel. You know something? You can distinguish animals a lot of time by their appetite. Preacher Stewart likes to talk about them hogs sticking their nose down that slop and blowing bubbles. Do you know why they like that slop? Do you know why they like the leftovers and the trash and the poor out of the world? Because they're hogs. Do you know what sheep like to eat? Sheep like to eat green grass and drink out of still waters. Now see, you can learn a lot about yourself if you'll look at the fruit that you're full of and look at the appetite of your heart. And hey, I'm going to tell you something. You need to look. Eternity is long. There's people that sit on this church pew. You come every Sunday or you come every Sunday night or every Wednesday night, and it may be that you've heard the gospel so many times, but yet at the same time, you may not be saved, and what you're doing is you're kissing the gates of heaven this morning. But if you never truly get saved by the grace of God, regardless of how much money you put in the offering plate, regardless of how many seat pews you've worn out in the church, how many times you parked out in the parking lot, if you've never been saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And I don't say that with joy. That just that horrifies me, the thought of thinking they'd done the right thing, or just because they might have prayed a prayer somewhere, or somebody had said something to them that, oh, it's all right with me, and then to die and wake up in eternal darkness, knowing that they'll never have an opportunity and they'll be in hell forever. And I just asked that question to you this morning. But then it may be this. You may just be like that young man in Luke chapter 15. You may just be one that somewhere back down the road you began to look into that far country. And when you, after you started looking for a while, you wanted to taste and experience some of those things. And before long, you found yourself in bondage. It's just like you can't get back. I want to tell you, it's a good day to get back onto the building program of the house of God. It's a good day for you to make things right with God. God wants you back. He loves you. When I look in Luke chapter 15, I see that prodigal son's father. I don't see him going about his daily business. When that prodigal son came home, that father was looking for him. He was waiting for him. Hey, there's a blessing. What a great miracle it is for somebody to be saved. But it's a great miracle, too, for somebody to come back in the fold of God that's run out in the world for a while. Hey, why don't you just come on back home? You're living a life of misery and a life of bondage. And those people you're living with and you're fellowshipping with, that's not your family. That's not your friend. That's your enemy. They care nothing about you. But I want to tell you, there's one that loves you. There's a Father in heaven, your Father, who died for you. There's brethren down at the house of God that care and love you. They'd love to see you find your way back down the house of God. But there's that carnal crowd. Are you part of that crowd this morning? Well, there's another crowd I want to mention to you this morning. I want to call these the careless crowd. See, there was some in that remnant. They did come back. They did come back to Jerusalem. They did start out to do the work. I mean, they went to work and they were doing what they were supposed to do, but something happened. I mentioned about those Samaritans that came and wanted to have a part of the work, but the truth of the matter is they didn't want part of the work. They wanted to take over the work. They wanted to get credit for the work, and all they would have done was polluted the work. I've seen the work that these guys do in local churches, and it's not the work of God. But the careless, they came and they stopped. What happened to these? I mean, I can imagine them, man. I can see them. They hear it. Boy, they had that thirst and that desire for the things of God, and they hear that decree from Cyrus. Hey, you're going back. And one of them pops up, hey, Jeremiah prophesied this happened a long time ago, and God's fulfilling His word, and now they've got this excitement in their soul. God's going to do something for us, and they load up, and they load up their family, and they make that long trip through the robbers and the danger back to Jerusalem, and they get ready to start building that building, and they're building, and suddenly this opposition arises, and the decree comes down that they had to stop the building. And oh, they were so disappointed. They were so heartbroken. Now what are we going to do? So what they did, they just kind of threw up their hands and put them aside. It's just a remnant of us after all. There's not that many of us to take part in the work. There's really not enough of us to get anything done. So we're just going to, I guess I'll just have to stop. And now they're out here, they don't want us to do it. I mean, every time we try to do something, they're raising up in our face. The world saying, oh, you don't want to do this. You can't do this. I want to tell you, there's more of that on the way for us. The world wants to tell us you can't build a church. You can't build a church on old-fashioned preaching. You can't build a church on old-fashioned singing. You can't build a church on the Word of God. You can't build a church on one way of salvation. I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to build a church, that's the only way that you'll build a church this morning. Amen? And we're always going to have opposition. There's those that are in Washington, D.C. right now that would like to make it illegal for what I said in my first point in threatening you with a kernel of discomfort of hell. There's those right now that like to stop us from being to preach against sodomy and sin in this world. They want that to be hate speech. There's opposition now to us. It's not time to stop. When Haggai was preaching to these people, he was preaching now. He was saying, build the wall, even though there's opposition, even though there's people against you, even though they want to make you have to work when church is going on, even though they want you to do wrong, I want you to keep going for God in spite of opposition. But many of you in this room, you got saved, and you started out for God, and you were running well. And boy, we were shouting the gateway and running the aisles. You were doing fine, but something happened. You run into a little bit of opposition. You run into some people, and I didn't say we quit shouting. I'm just saying it was a, but I'm going on from there. But suddenly somebody stood in your face. Suddenly there's opposition in your life. And now, well, I just don't believe I can do that anymore. It's hard now. the excitement's gone. You lost hold of that promise, and now you're just content and just sitting and watching. But while they were fighting their disappointment, well, we've got to do something while we're here. We've got to get the house going on. They began to interact with those in Jerusalem, those Samaritans, and they began to set up their life with them and establish their life with them. They began to build their houses and get involved in the community, and suddenly they didn't have time for building anymore. When it came time to build, they didn't want to build anymore. When the decree had been lifted, they didn't want to lift it anymore. We don't have time. We're satisfied in the life that we're living now. We're happy doing what we're doing. We're happy running a little league practice every night. We're happy running the golf course, and we're happy running the beach every weekend. We've got other things to keep us happy and to do what we want to do. We're just not interested in building the house of God anymore. It's not time right now. It's just a little bit too late. People don't seem to be interested. Let's just go on and do something else. They said in that second verse, it's not time to build the house of God. I want to admonish you this morning. It's time. It's time. It's time to build the house of God. But they had their distraction. But you know what? They had something else. They had a leaky bag. See, they thought everything was all right. They began to have their sealed houses, their finished houses, their nice and their comfortable houses. And everything seemed to be all right in their life. Everything seemed to be going well. But God said, wait a minute. That bag, that thing that you think's your wealth and that thing that you think is your riches is a bag with holes. Now, let me just say something to you this morning. When I talk about this, they were prospering, but not like they thought they were. And when I talk of prosperity, there's two types of prosperity in the Bible. You've got Old Testament prosperity with the Jews, and God always blessed them with earthly things because they were an earthly people. God promised the Jews this earth. But in the New Testament, when I talk about the church, that New Testament prosperity, that's a heavenly people promised heavenly prosperity. Jesus talked about our prosperity in Matthew chapter 5 when he talked about the Beatitudes. He talked about folks that will be comforted when they mourn. He talked about folks that had an inheritance in heaven and those that thirsted after righteousness and how they'd be filled. He talked about those that would give mercy and God would give them mercy. He talked about them being peacemakers and how he would be identified with them. He talked about those that would be persecuted but they had heaven that was theirs down the road. He talked about those that were suffered evil talking and things against them. He said they've got a reward in heaven. That's the New Testament prosperity I'm talking about. But see, they thought they were prospering. Some of you think you're prospering this morning, a life apart from God, but I want to tell you, it's a bag with holes. Their priorities got all out of line. The Bible says to seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, are you carnal this morning? Are you careless this morning? Do you fit in either one of these crowds this morning? Consider your ways. Boy, it's easy sometimes to begin to sit up and think I'm somebody. But I want to remind you how small you are in this thing. And you don't judge yourself by your standards. You don't judge yourself by the world's standards. You judge yourself by God's standards. There's one more group I want to mention here. It's not all a sad story. The last group I want to mention is that group that never stopped the work. This chapter, as we close it out, the Bible says, then Zerubbabel in verse 12, the son of Shealtiel and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and with the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred in the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. There was some that was committed to it. I think about just this man, Haggai. I mean, boy, he took it upon himself. The whole theme of the book of Haggai is to encourage those people to keep on building. Just to keep on building. I thank God for them that don't quit. I thank God for them that have committed themselves to go on and build the house of God. And I want to say something to you this morning. God has a word to you that keep on building. In verse 13, then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you. They sang that song a while ago, saying, somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus. I want to confess something to you this morning. It's as hard now as it's ever been. It's as lonely now as it's ever been. It's opposed now as it's ever been. It's more unpopular than it's ever been to build down the house of God right now. It's more inconvenient than it's ever been to build at the house of God. But as inconvenient, as difficult and opposed as it is sometimes, the Lord has a word for the builder this morning. I am with you, though the numbers may seem small. Hey, though those that actually do the work may not seem like they're very good at it, I want to remind you, he said, I am with you. Anytime I stand trying to do the work of God, whether it's in Mexico, whether it's a Spaniard in a jail cell, wherever it may be, thank God I have the promises of God that I do not stand alone. And like the old preacher said one time, as long as me and God are involved in it, God makes up the majority. Amen? He said one time, God's so big, an old preacher, he's so big, when he turns around, he bumps into himself. I'm glad I've got a big God that stands with us as we go for Him. Hey, you've got a choice. You could be committed and have God walking with you, or you could look at some of those verses in the middle part of this chapter about those you go on without God. You can carry your bag with holes. You can have the heavens closed up in your life. God close up the dews. Hey, I'll take God on my side. I'll take God on a dark day than the world on a sunny day. Amen? But not only the message, but look at the motivation. God said, I'm with you. But look at verse 14. And the Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. All that little crowd that committed themselves to the work, God stirred their hearts and put some of them just a little bit more to keep them in the work. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not always fired up. I'm sorry. I apologize, but I am not always fired up. I don't always feel that burning in my soul just to go on and do. But I committed to something back down the road. But you know something? Thank God, because of that grace and that commitment, when I keep my wheels turning, I keep going for God every once in a while. It might be in an altar by myself. It might be somewhere on my knees. It might be just trying to go for God. Suddenly, there's that stirring in me. It might be when somebody else is preaching the Word of God. God puts that stir in my heart, reminds me that I'm with you, and just says, let's just go on. Let's just go on and build down at the house of God. I'm going to tell you what, if you're not building down at the house of God, you're tearing it down. But committed. Now I want to ask you, I've asked you, and the prophet admonished you this morning, consider your ways. Can you be honest with yourself and honest enough with God just to let God look in your heart? Say, God, where do I fit in here? Am I in this category of the carnal? Am I truly saved? Do I need to get right with God? Am I just careless? Lord, I want to be in that committed crowd. I want to be one of them that's committed to the things of God. Hey, it's time for you to take your place. You hear me this morning? As Haggai told these in Jerusalem, I've got a word from you. It's time for each of you to take your place from the front row to the back row to the balcony to the toddler church and the nursery. It's time for you to take your place down at the house of God and get down to business with God. David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's time for us to build. The time has come to build. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Brother Jeff's going to come. He's going to get a song for us this morning. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And no one looking but this preacher this morning. You know, I tried to challenge and make you think this morning. I hope more than me doing it that the Spirit of God challenged you, tried to make you think this morning. But as you look at your hearts and you examine where you are and you look at the fruit in your life and the appetite of your heart, I mean, do you know for absolute sure, heads bowed and eyes closed, it's serious, most serious time in the service going on right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would there be someone in this room say, Brother Tim, I don't know for sure that I'm saved or I'm just lost. I won't embarrass you. I won't walk to you. I'll just acknowledge that I've seen your hand. Anybody like that in the building, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I may be that carnal one that the Word of God's talking about this morning. Anybody like that in the house? I'm going to take that everybody in here professes to be saved. Well, if you're not that carnal one, are you the careless one or are you the committed one? As the careless one, you may just need to come and get down to business with God. You may not even realize how distracted you've come. Maybe the Spirit of God reveals something to you this morning. It may be that you're committed, you got a little discouraged. I want to tell you what, there's strength in the Lord. There's strength in the Lord, and it's worth living for Jesus. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and we're going to start singing as Brother Jeff sings. So this altar's open now. But you just mind the Lord. Let God do His work in your heart this morning. Father, I thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the good liberty to preach on this Sunday morning. That comes from You, and I praise You for that. Thank You for Your help. I thank You, God, for these that have been so attentive. Lord, people listen this morning. I praise You for that. But Lord, I'm glad that they tried to listen to me. But God, more important, I hope that they've heard the Spirit of God in their hearts this morning. And I pray, God, that Your Spirit, Lord, would convict Your people. Lord, we need to get down to business. Lord, we heard such a powerful message on Thursday night about how we can just look at the ruins and just pass on by. Lord, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to look at the house of God and know as a child of God, that's our place. That's our life. That's what we need to be involved in and busy in. And I pray, God, that You'd help people just to be sensitive and obedient to the Spirit of God this morning. And Lord, we commit this invitation to Your hands. In Jesus' name.